Hello, everyone, and welcome to Quinn Cummings Gives Bad Advice, the podcast where I, Quinn Cummings, give advice to people I do not know. If you're joining us for the first time, you may be asking yourself, does Quinn really want to give me bad advice? And the answer is no, I do not want to give you bad advice. I want to give you good advice. But I have absolutely no qualification to give you any sort of advice at all. I am not Yakko. I am not Wacko. I am not Dot. I give advice because it amuses me to do so. So you might be asking yourself, will this advice I'm about to give you be good advice? Well, I think the answer is in the title of the podcast. If you want me to give you bad advice, you can leave a question for me at qcbad.com. It's completely anonymous, and better yet, it's completely free. So I can offer up this advice with a 100% money-back guarantee. Now, let's get started. Here's today's first question. This one comes from qcbad.com. Subject, selling gifts?
Dear Quinn, 2020 was hard on my finances, and I'm preparing to sell a few things I don't use or love. One of them is a high-end designer bag that was a gift from my sister. I never really liked it, but she took care in finding it and would be hurt if she knew I wanted to part with it. Any bad advice?
Yes. Once a gift is given, it lives its own life. The giver cannot reasonably expect to control how the gift is used. For example, Consort likes this particular brand of British biscuit, and so I decided to get him some for his stocking for Christmas morning. For British reasons, I couldn't buy one, or even six, but instead ended up with enough to create an outbuilding on the property. I gave him five in his stocking, but during the morning mentioned the shed size amount I had held back. He looked at me and said, "Give them to me." I did. Has he mostly lived on Garibaldi since Christmas afternoon? Yes. Is it the path I would have chosen for him? Maybe not. But he's happy, and they were, after all, his. This purse is yours, as are your finances. It sounds to me as if there is a difference between you and your sister's life as far as income goes, and I suspect you're worried she'll see it as an insult when, in fact, you needed money, and this purse is, in effect, an uncashed check. Do you need to tell her that you're selling it? Maybe not. Then again, she'll never see you wearing her purse, and she'll probably feel hurt. I say get out ahead of it. Tell her the truth, but not the whole truth. Your finances required you make some very, very hard choices, and it broke your heart, but you realized her beautiful and generous gift, a gift you loved not only because of its innate beauty, but because your sister took such care in picking it out, would help you keep going until things smoothed out. Tell her you felt terrible having to make that decision, but that you feel lucky to have a sister with this level of kindness and love and good taste. Tell her you love her and do what you gotta do. Well, this was kind of fun. I finished this and Consort looked at me and said, "Well, you missed the obvious answer." And I looked alert. I miss lots of obvious things. He said, "Offer to sell the bag back to the sister," which is, forgive me, it's such a male answer. All right, if you are listening to this and you just thought Consort is right, here's why I don't think Consort is right. The sister didn't buy the bag for herself. She bought it for her sister. Now, yes, there are people who buy things that they like and then give them to someone else. I think the original question was that she feels like her sister took a lot of care in purchasing it for her. I feel like it was very much, "I like this for you." Second of all, I feel as if the minute you say, "Hey, will you buy this back?" you're now lending money within a family or giving money within a family. And if there's that much of a discrepancy between their incomes, I feel like that's going to get awkward very quickly. And then the final thing concert said was, okay, well, do you tell the sister before you sell it or after you sell it? I say it's a done deal. I sold it. I love you. I had to, as opposed to I'm going to sell it, because implicit in I'm going to sell it is, I mean, unless you give me some money, making the making it rain gesture with my hand. No, it got done. Here's why I had to do it. I didn't ask you for your help. I just ask you to understand. And that is my bad advice. This one comes from qcbad.com. Subject: daughters, boyfriends, ears.
Dear Quinn, my daughter's boyfriend has medium-sized gauges. Is that what they're called? My husband and I abhor them. What can or should we do about this?
Oh, nothing. It's fashion. It's supposed to look stupid to us. We looked stupid to adults when we were their age. And yes, it's more eternal than the spiral-ringed perm I mistakenly thought would help my face, but it's still fixable with a minor outpatient procedure should he choose to have it undone one day. The only question about this young man is whether this person is funny, smart, and seems to realize what an absolute peach your daughter is and how he is dating up. Everything else is just something you and your husband can get mileage out of after they leave. You want to entertain yourself in the meanwhile? Innocently offer to take a picture of them together, then keep that on your phone. In the years to come, at the perfect moment, you bring that out to remind your daughter of all the things you did not say. This one comes from Twitter.
Dear Quinn, I basically have rental stage fright. I live in a tiny room with an ensuite, thankfully, and a shared kitchen with kids I ignore in favor of takeaways. I had a bad experience with the landlord 4 years ago and had to move in a hurry. It's very cheap and in a good area, but I wonder if I'll ever give myself permission to move somewhere more expensive. There is a freedom in spending very little on rent, but I think this cupboard is damaging me in subtle ways. Is there a way to set a specific goal or really persuade myself that a bath and cooker are worth the stress of higher rent? My friends envy both the price and location, but they're not the ones tripping over the damn chair every day.
And I'm sure the last few months have not helped at all. I think this is an excellent problem, because there are no wrong answers. Unfortunately, there are no overtly right answers in this exact moment either. You are currently in a money-saving situation in a fun neighborhood, but you could also enjoy a slightly less wonderful neighborhood and a little less money in your wallet, but your chair bruise would fade. Add in the terrible knowledge that landlords can be really ghastly, and yes, I get it. You're stuck. Don't think about what you want right now. At any given moment, human brains are notoriously bad at assessing risk. Think about what you want in 2 years or 5 years. Pick a point, then aim towards it. If you want to be a person who is renovating their own flat that they purchased with all the money they saved, well, that's data. If you want to be a person who has thrown dinner parties serving all this food they learned to cook in their actual kitchen in their slightly grotty neighborhood, that's also data. Actors will tell you that a scene sounds completely different if your character is trying to seduce the other person or if they're trying to back them over a hand railing for the insurance money. The words may be the same. The intention is very different. The more specific you are right now, the clearer your path will be. Figure out what 2026 you should be doing, would be happiest doing, and then act accordingly. And by the way, 2023 you can change your mind. You don't need to make the perfect decision right now. You just need to make a decision. Make a decision. This one comes from QCBad.com. Subject: a classic question.
Dear Quinn, I feel it's been enough years since the mind-numbingly boring reading from AP English and sleep-inducing assignments in college lit classes. I am now ready to read a great work, but something lighter in tone. Nothing Russian unless there's a buried Russian rom-com I've missed. Any suggestions?
I am not going to even pretend to be objective, because both of these women are friends and excellent chicks. But if you want a sweeping story with strong, complicated female leads, you cannot go wrong with Melanie Benjamin's Swans of Fifth Avenue or Jennifer Weiner's Mrs. Everything. I love Kate Atkinson's Life After Life, but I will warn you, Atkinson isn't everybody's cup of gin. If you end up enjoying any of these books, all three of these writers have a deep bench to explore. If you haven't read Zadie Smith or Louise Erdrich, they are both fantastic writers who write about worlds you may not know well. If you want to read a wonderful writer who was also an objectively terrible person, who wrote about interesting but morally absent people, there is always Patricia Highsmith. Philippa Gregory writes wonderful historical fiction, and there's always Hilary Mantel, who might dominate that category right now. Or none of the above. Let me know if I've sent you in the wrong direction. I can send you off in a bunch of other ways. Or, now that I think of it, apparently, according to the FCC, I have to let you know when I am doing an ad. I have to let it be, and this is their terminology, clear and conspicuous. This is an ad.
This is an ad!
I have been very careful about not having ads up until now. I wanted to have products I really believed in and I really used. I really believe in and I really use Libro FM. What is Libro FM? It is an app which lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. You can pick from more than 215,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You're going to get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there, and I believe you know which one that is. But you will be part of a different story. You're going to be supporting your local community. Let me explain. I have my own membership. I pay for it and everything. And every month, a little bit of my membership goes to my local independent bookstore so that I can help keep them in business. Vroman's bookstore has been there over 100 years, and I want them to be there 2 years from now. This is what we can do right now for our independent bookstores. If you already love audiobooks but you don't know what to listen to next, you can check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, booksellers. Also, maybe I'm going to have a list on there. I'm totally going to have a list on there. Quinn Cummings Gives Bad Advice has a special offer for you, the new listener at Libro FM. You get two audiobooks for the price of one with your first month of membership with the code Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N. You will be so much happier with a book in your ear. You could do it while you wash dishes, wash laundry, wash the dog. Turn the volume up if you wash the dog. They tend to complain a lot. Books are good. Books in your ears are great. And small bookstores are best of all. We can listen to books and we can help our local bookstores. Let's keep them going. Go to Libro, Libro.fm, and sign up now. I'll see you there. This one comes from QCBad.com. Subject, SMH.
Dear Quinn, longtime friend recently suggested I get a job at Home Depot because no one will hire me as a designer. Time to detonate?
If that's the only time this person has been a straight-up bitch to you, chalk it up to perimenopause, which is always safe because that seems to go on for about 2 decades. If this is a pattern of behavior, and by pattern of behavior, I mean she ever did it even once before. I don't know if you've heard, but the average American lifespan is about 82 years, which, compared to the rest of the life on Earth, is breathtakingly brief. Spend not another second with this person. But not for nothing, if you choose to go to work for Home Depot, not only will you learn a ton about everything, you will see some of the freakiest people on Earth. I speak as someone who lives with Mr. Home Improvement Guy and have trailed behind him at Home Depot. You might get stories out of this. But don't do it because she said so. Yes, yeah, screw that. This one comes from QCBand.com. Subject: Boss wants to know what I'm up to.
Dear Quinn, this is true always, but particularly true during this work-from-home phase, which, if I had my way, would last until I retire. I'm generally self-directed in terms of the projects and priorities in my position, primarily web development, but internal within my company, so my project requests are from inside the house. But I'm terrible at relaying to my boss what I'm currently working on, multiple things at once, usually, and where the pain points or milestones are, and when I anticipate being finished. She has suggested Trello as a means of me setting up something she can refer to when people come to her and ask, why hasn't she finished Project Blah yet? Because she wants to be able to have my back by knowing she can say, there's a higher priority project, blah, which she will finish in a week. She wants to have my back. I'd love that. I just don't know how to do it. Trello doesn't fit me well. Any thoughts on a project management system that might work for a scattered people pleaser?
You know, the great thing about this podcast is learning how little I know. Until about 10 minutes ago, I would have sworn to you Trello was a hair product. Apparently, it is not. But I do know one thing. The people who listen to this podcast are really smart. Like, I don't know why they are listening to me. And they know stuff. So we're going to put this one out to the hive mind. What is like Trello, but isn't Trello? Feel free to send it to me at Twitter, at quincy.com, Q-U-I-N-N-C-Y. And we will find this person and we will get her the data. So if you are hearing this, know that I have put my best minds on it, and I am none of them. And if for some reason the person who asked me this isn't on Twitter, first of all, good for you. It's a septic tank. But second of all, I will bring you a bunch of answers in the next episode. Okay, I think that's enough bad advice for today. And remember, I can't give you bad advice if you don't ask for it. Your question doesn't have to be profound, complex, or emotionally demanding. It can be about pretty much anything because, let's face it, I am unqualified to offer advice across a wide range of subject matter. And as we all know, sometimes the nuttiest question gets the best bad advice. You can reach me on Twitter, at Quincy, that's Q-U-I-N-N-C-Y at twitter.com. Or you can post a question to qcbad.com. Just log into letter Q, letter C, B-A-D.com, and there's a question form right there. If you want to show people your feelings about bad advice, we now have bad advice merchandise with our fork and a toaster logo at quincummings.com/merch. We do add new products from time to time, so check out the catalog. And let me know what you think. Before I go, I'd like to thank Richard Emmett, who composed my groovy music, and Keith Greenstein, who designed my groovy logo. I also want to thank Phil Rohr and Prime Rib Productions for making it possible for you to hear any of this. Okay, that's enough for now. Keep those questions coming, and I'll see you all next time.